He complained that the Negro has not been breeding for an object, and that he must begin to train and breed for brains, for efficiency, for beauty. Over his long career, he time and again returned to his concern that the worst blacks were overbreeding while the best were underbreeding. Indeed, he supported Margaret Sanger's Negro Project, which sought to sharply curtail reproduction among inferior stocks of the black population. Perhaps an even better indication of how little modern popular conceptions jibe with the historical reality during this period is the Ku Klux Klan. For decades, the Klan has stood as the most obvious candidate for an American brand of fascism. That makes quite a bit of sense. The right-wing label, on the other hand, isn't nearly as clean a fit. The Klan of the Progressive Era was not the same Klan that arose after the Civil War. Rather, it was a collection of loosely independent organizations spread across the United States. What united them, besides their name and absurd get-ups, was that they were all inspired by the film The Birth of a Nation. They were, in fact, a creepy fan subculture of the film. Founded the week of the film's release in 1915, the Second Klan was certainly racist, but not much more than the society in general. Of course, this is less a defense of the Klan than an indictment of the society that produced it. For years, the conventional view among scholars and laymen alike was that the Klan was rural and fundamentalist. The truth is, it was often quite cosmopolitan and modern, thriving in cities like New York and Chicago. In many communities, the Klan focused on the reform of local government and on maintaining social values. It was often the principal extra-legal enforcer of prohibition, the consummate progressive reform. These Klansmen, writes Jesse Walker in an illuminating survey of the latest scholarship, were more likely to flog you for bootlegging or breaking your marriage vows than for being black or Jewish. When modern liberals try to explain away the Klan membership of prominent Democrats, most frequently West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd, they cough up a few cliches about how good liberals evolved from their Southern racial conservatism. But the Klan of the 1920s was often seen as reformist and modern, and it had a close relationship with some progressive elements in the Democratic Party. The young Harry Truman, as well as the future Supreme Court Justice Hugo Black, were members. In 1924, at the famous Klan-Bake Democratic Convention, the KKK rallied around the future Senator William McAdoo, Woodrow Wilson's Secretary of the Treasury and son-in-law, a key architect of Wilson's war socialism and a staunch prohibitionist. Moreover, if the Klan was less racist than we've been led to believe, academia was staggeringly more so. Indeed, the modern institution of academic tenure was largely carved out by progressive academia's solidarity with E.A. Ross, the author of the race suicide thesis.